This is sort of a sad day in my life, but it's also a happy day, happy because I got to know Gunther. Gunther and I go back about 70 years in France. We spent a period of time at the children's home, which was called the Chateau de Majolier, which was run by the Osée. And somehow we immediately took to each other and became very good friends. And as time went by, we shared a lot of common events, as it were. We were in Majolier for, well, I was a little longer than he, but in September of 1942, we were sent down to Marseille and were supposed to be sent from there to the United States by way of Spain and Portugal. But unfortunately, while we were in Marseille, the Germans went into the south of France because the Americans came to North Africa, and it was impossible for us to get away. So back we went to Majolier, and then things started getting very bad for Jewish children all over France. And in February of 1943, through the good works of the Osée organization, we were jointly, Gunther and I, as well as a few other children, we were smuggled into Switzerland, and that was on the 22nd of February, 1943. We crossed the border together through the barbed wire and a little river that we had to cross, went to Switzerland, got picked up there, and spent a few days in Geneva together. From Geneva, we were sent to Ascona, which is a little town in southern Switzerland, and we were roommates in that town in Ascona. And after that, as you heard from the rabbi, he went to his wonderful Swiss family that he lived with, who incidentally were not Jewish, but they were wonderful people. I had the good fortune of spending time with a family that was actually, the man was my father's boss in Germany, and I spent 4 years in Switzerland before coming to the United States. Gunther preceded me to the United States by about a year or a little more. And Gunther reaches out to people. I'm a little reluctant, and he tried to make contact with me after I went to the United States, and I dropped the ball. It's as simple as that. And somehow we lost contact. That loss lasted for nearly 50 years. After 50 years, about 1995 or 1996, thereabouts, I get a call from Artie Kern, whom you undoubtedly will hear from a little bit later, and he gives me a call, and he says, "Hey, Ernie, does the name Gunther Katz mean anything to you?" And I'm telling you, it was incredible. I mean, the emotional reaction was unbelievable. And before too long, Gunther and Susie were at our door. Now, mind you, we're in Northern California. They came up from Southern California, and there was Gunther, a little older than when I last saw him, but It was fabulous. I mean, it was truly an event. I mean, it was a major event in my life. And Gunther and I, we've been close ever since. I mean, we didn't see each other on a regular daily basis, but we would see each other maybe once every 6 months, maybe 3, 4, 5 months. But every few weeks, he'd call me, I'd call him. We'd spend at least a half an hour on the phone comparing notes, talking about family and so on. And it was a revelation. I thought Gunther was just an an outreach kind of person. He would pick up people and love them. And Gunther loved me and I loved him. And what was really nice was to see Gunther and his family together. And that was really a family unit. And it was really a pleasure to me to see this happening to my old friend and also to his wife and the children. It was fine. It was great. And, well, subsequently, Gunther went into this mode where he would tell his story and the story of the Holocaust and his personal experiences to a lot of different groups in where he was giving of himself. And it was an outreach to all kinds of people. And I'm sure he actually educated a lot of people and probably actually turned a number of skeptics around. I'm sure that happened. Now, I will certainly miss Gunther's physical presence, but he'll be in my heart and my mind forever. Thanks.